Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Let's pray before we get into the word today. Father God, we thank you that we can be together on such a special day, that we can celebrate legacy, we can celebrate generations, and we can celebrate how good you are to us. We thank you for our fathers, we thank you for our young people, and that we get to be one church, one community meeting in one place to glorify one God. And so today I pray that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us corporately, but that you would also speak to us personally. Give us a word for our lives, give us a word that we can take hold of today. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today I'm super excited to be preaching on an animation film from Pixar that was released in 2023 called Elemental. And it is such a special movie. But before we go any further, let's take a look at this trailer.
Meet the residents of Element City. Air usually has their head in the clouds.
Oh, my new jacket.
Earth can be a little seedy.
Nothing weird going on here.
Just a little pruning.
Water is always getting into something.
Help!
And fire? As ordered, we run a little hot.
This shop is dream of our family.
Someday it'll all be yours.
But we all live by one simple rule.
Elements cannot mix.
What the?
A pipe squished me all out of shape.
Dang.
That's better.
Oh.
So you've never left Firetown?
Sorry, buddy. Elements don't mix. Plus, my dad would boil you alive.
Why does anyone get to tell you what you can do in your life? Come on! Why do they even have these?
Who knows.
Watch this!
Whoa. Ember, I see a change in you.
What, hair guy? You live here?
It's my mom's place.
We got two kids that are swimming around here somewhere.
Orca! Follow!
I've been trying to fill my father's shoes, but I never once asked what I wanted to do.
Try this!
Dad, those are too hot.
I love hot food.
You see? He likes it.
It's really such a cute film, and if you haven't watched it, I really encourage you to. But basically, this is what the film is about, is Ember, who's a fire element, and Wade, who is a water element, meet. And they meet because Ember has a temper on her. And so she basically damages her father's store that means so much to their family in one of her rages. And so Wade has to come to give her a fine, basically. He's like a city inspector. And so he gives her a fine, but this means that the store's probably going to shut down. And so they join on a quest together to save the store. But Ember is like this stony, fiery, like in your face, doesn't take no for an answer type of person. And Wade is a feeler. He cries all the time. He's always looking at people to see what's wrong and how he can help. And so they're just completely different in all ways. And so this is their quest together, and that's what the movie is all about. And there are so many lessons that we can learn from this film. You know, there are multiple times where we see prejudice rise up. We see them wanting to go for their own goals, not the dreams of their parents, but to pursue their own dreams. But the theme, and I think it's the overarching theme of the film that I love so much, is the theme of love. Simply love. And you know, I love God in the movies because it's biblical. We don't do this just because it's fun, but we do this because we can learn through stories, right? And that's what movies are. And Jesus himself taught through stories, or what he called parables. And a parable is basically a story that has a big truth that can be taught in a simple way so that we can relate to it. And that's the same with movies. And I love one of the parables that Jesus shares, and it's about loving our neighbor. And it's found in Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus told him this parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, looking and said, look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Jesus asked. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The whole lesson of this parable that Jesus was teaching his disciples and this Jewish audience and this religious man was to love people. And today I want to explore 3 questions. Who is our neighbor? How do we love our neighbor? And why should we love our neighbor? And so I'm going to dive into 2 types of neighbors. I'm sure there's many more, but today just 2 types of neighbors that we're called to love and how we can practically love those people. So the first neighbor we can find in this next clip. Let's have a look.
Skybox.
Come on!
Okay, time to cancel some tickets.
You'll be great! This way!
Jimmy, what's up? Wendy!
Jordan, sorry. Fire girl coming through!
Break some wind!
Hi, Gail. How you doing?
Look at the score. What do you think? Blow the ball, not the game!
Yeah, so, Gail. My name is Ember Lumen. My family runs a fire shop. Wade wrote us a bunch of tickets yesterday.
What kind of call was that?
Lumen? Yeah, a fire shop with 30 citations.
30? Anyway, friend, I was hoping we could work something out.
Come on, Rap, are your eyes in the back of your head?
Oh, no!
Yeah, bummer. Oh, yeah. Okay, so, the 30 citations?
Do you mind? There's a game going on. Fireball.
Fireball?
Actually, I do mind. This is my life we're talking about, not just some game.
Some game? This is the playoffs, so forgive me if I don't want to hear a sob story about the problems of some little shop!
Well, that little shop matters way more than a bunch of overpaid Cloud Puffs blowing some ball around.
I dare you. Say Cloud Puffs one more time.
Cloud Puffs.
Oh, no! Putz! Putz, man. He's been in such a funk because his mom has been sick. That is so not cool. He's doing his best. We love you, Lutz! We love you, Lutz! We love you, Lutz! Come on! We love you, Lutz, everybody!
We love you, Lutz! We love you, Lutz! We love you, Lutz!
From this clip and from the parable is we see that one of our neighbors that we're called to love is the down and out. You know, if you take the parable and put yourself in the position of the Good Samaritan, the person that he was called to love in that moment was the down and out, the person who was robbed, left for dead, and he noticed him and did something about it. And the same with this clip. You know, Wade noticed that Lutz was out of his game and not on his game that day, but he also knew why. And so he didn't just like boo with everyone else, but he did something about it. And that's the thing with loving the down and out in our world, is that it takes something from us. You know, Jesus wasn't thinking that when he told us to love our neighbor, that it was going to be easy. It wasn't just the good neighbor that we love. It wasn't just our friends and family that we love to spend time with and we love to help. But it's other people, you know, the teller, the car guard, the friend who's going through a tough space, the work colleague who maybe sometimes rubs us up the wrong way. Those are the people that Jesus calls us to love. But he especially calls us to love them when they're down and out, when they're in tough situations. But the way he calls us to love them is very practical. Because just like the Good Samaritan saw the man and noticed him, but then put his love into action. You know, the other two also saw him. It says there that the priest and the Levite saw him and then crossed onto the other side. But the Good Samaritan saw him and had pity on him. You know, the whole crowd in that clip could see that Lutz was not on his game. But it was only Wade who saw him, saw his situation, and did something about it. And that's what I love, is that when we love the down and out, we're seeing people, we're noticing people, but we're also doing something about it. We're putting our love into action. You know, what are you noticing about the people around you? Do you come across a teller who just seems down? Maybe by simply sharing a word of encouragement or a joke even just to lift their day. That's a way of loving our neighbor. Maybe there's a work colleague who you've noticed is struggling with transport or struggling with their car and they're feeling frustrated and down about it. Practically, what could you do? Could you pay for an Uber for a trip to ease a day? Could you help with school trips? Whatever you could do to ease the load, that is loving your neighbor who is down and out. I love this quote from Mother Teresa. It says, It is not enough for us to say, I love God, but I do not love my neighbor. St. John says you are a liar if you say you love God and you don't love your neighbor. How can you love God whom you do not see if you do not love your neighbor whom you see, whom you touch, with whom you live? You know, church, we're seeing our neighbors all the time. So let's love them by putting our love into action, doing practical things that can help the down and out neighbor. Let's see in this next clip the second type of neighbor that we can love.
It was inspiring. You were inspiring.
No, Wade, we can't touch.
Maybe we can.
No.
Can't we just prove it?
Prove what?
Let's see what happens. And if it's a disaster, then we'll know this would never work.
But it actually could be a disaster. I could vaporize you. You could extinguish me. And then...
Let's start small.
Doesn't this clip make you feel like you're holding candle a little bit? What we see from the movie, again, is that loving our neighbor is loving people who are different to us. You know, you can't get more different elements, right, than fire and water. Yet through the movie, as they journey together, as they build friendship, those differences are set aside, and they're able to put their differences aside to work together and actually end up falling in love. And I think that's so beautiful, and it's what Jesus was teaching us. You know, Jesus was very smart and very intentional about who he used in his parable. You know, he could have said that there was a Jewish man helping a Jewish person who was down and out. But he used a Samaritan. And historically, Jews and Samaritans did not work, did not see eye to eye, did not agree, did not mingle. Yet Jesus purposely puts the two together to help one another out. You know, it would be really weird if during the story, you know, the down and out guy was on his donkey and realizes that this guy's a Samaritan. And is like, no, let me get off. I don't want to mix with you. I'm going to get off. That would never have happened because he was accepting the help and accepting. He put his differences aside because someone was reaching out to him. And it's the same with the movie. You know, they had to put their differences aside to work together and to love one another. And the thing about loving our neighbor who is different to us, the key to doing it is simply by engaging. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It's just a simple act. You know, for the Good Samaritan, it was simply using his resources to help someone. For the clip, I love how Wade says, you know, just start with something small. Let's just start small. There's not much more we can do. Let's just touch hands. Let's see how that goes. You know, I love the story that my father-in-law shared at our wedding, Kulu's dad. And I don't know about if you've noticed, but Kulu and I are quite different. And Kulu's dad shares the story about how the first time he was bringing Kulu to our house, dropping him off himself, he was a little bit worried. He had his guard up. Not because he didn't like me or anything. He knew me, he liked me, but he wasn't sure of what my family would be like. He wasn't sure of how my family would accept his son. And so he came quite like guard up, driving his son ready to say whatever he needed to say if need be. But he was so amazed at what happened when Kulu walked up our driveway into our lounge and he saw my 80-year-old gran stand up, greet Kulu with a kiss, and then she just simply waved at him in greeting. And he said that that little small gesture, that little wave, made all the difference. Because it simply showed that his son was in a safe place, that it didn't matter. All the differences could be put aside. Years of generational, historical, political differences could be put aside. And it was just in a moment of a little wave with an 80-year-old woman waving at a 60-year-old man and saying, "We've got your son and he's fine with us." And I love that. It's just a small gesture, and that's how we start. We start with engaging in small ways. You know, it doesn't mean we have to have tons of conversations and lengthy conversations. Maybe it's just a question. Maybe a wondering question to help you understand someone else's world, help you understand their background, help you understand their religion, help you to understand their political views. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to change everything that you believe, but it's just engaging. That's a way to love your neighbor that is different to you. And I love how the people who are different to us, and when we are different to others, all of the differences disappear just by simply engaging. Because we realize there's actually a greater goal, and that's just to love each other. And that's what God desires of us. Aren't you proud to be a South African after this last week? Come on. You know, we prayed for this, church. We prayed that the elections would be peaceful. We prayed that there would be a good result. And what is happening? Our governments are putting aside their differences, are putting aside their agenda so that they can rule and govern for the people. They're putting aside differences. They're starting small. They're coming together to say, you know, we love South Africa, we love our people, and so we're going to come together no matter how different we are, and we're going to make this work. And that's a beautiful thing to be a part of. And I just want to challenge us and encourage us. What more could happen in our country? What more could happen in our lives? What more could happen in our church? What more could happen in our communities, in our homes, if we just decided to engage with people who are different to us, put aside the differences, and see what God can do from that? I love this anonymous quote. It says, "When Jesus said, 'Love your neighbor,' he knew your neighbor would act, look, and believe differently than you. It's kind of the whole point." So our neighbors are the down and out, and we love them by seeing them, noticing them, and acting on what we see. Our neighbors are those who are different to us, and we love them by engaging with them, starting small. But why do we do this? Why do we love our neighbor? Well, the Bible tells us, church, that it's by our love that people will know who we follow, that it's by our love that we are seen as disciples, that we're seen as Christ followers. So let's have another look at this next clip.
Amber, don't move!
Oh, please, my mother. Mom, it's okay. He's just a friend.
Sigh. Silence! I could smell you from over there!
Oh,
you stink!
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
You're smelling love on me?
If your father finds out, fire and water cannot be together! I prove it! Come with me! I splashed this on your heart to bring love to the surface. And then you must light these with your fire, and I read the smoke. See, Ember? It cannot be.
Actually...
What are you doing?
Why do we love our neighbors, church? Because it's when we smell like Jesus, when we look like Jesus, when we feel like Jesus, then others are moved towards Jesus. Because we know that our world has never been as divisive as it is. We know that there is a lack of love and lots of hate. But when we smell like Jesus, just like Ember, who, you know, started the movie as this angry little, like, element, fire element, now smelling like love, because she spent time with someone who exuded love. After spending time with Wade, she smelled more like love. And that's the same with us, and it's, as I conclude, want to give us one final application. Is that we need to be spending time with Jesus in order for us to be smelling like Jesus. In order for people to smell love on us, we need to be close to Jesus. We need to have him rub off on us. And that's by being with him, so that we can become like him, so that we can do what he did and love the way he loves. John 13, verse 35 says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You know, I want to share an account from Daniel. And it's about three young Jewish men. And basically what happens is they stand up to a king called King Nebuchadnezzar. And they say to him, "We are not going to worship you. You may have created these statues of yourself that we have to bow down and we have to worship you, and you may have put that into law, but we are not doing that." And so King Nebuchadnezzar calls them in front of him and says, "Well, you better start doing it, otherwise I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace." And they say, "We're not going to do it. We'll go into the fiery furnace. We believe that God will be with us in the fiery furnace, but even if he's not, we will not bow down to worship you." And so because of their defiance, he gets so angry. Scripture says his face contorts with anger. And he places them into the fire and turns it up seven times hotter than what it normally was. So much so that the poor soldiers that were needing to throw them in, they die at the heat of the fire. They die when they throw the three men in. But then we see what happens, and we pick up the story from Daniel 3, verses 24. It says, "But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, 'Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?' 'Yes, your majesty, we certainly did,' they replied. 'Look,' Nebuchadnezzar shouted, 'I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god.' Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So the three stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads were singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke." Now, you might be wondering where the story is fitting in. But I wonder, church, why they didn't smell like smoke. Do you think it was because they were with Jesus? That Jesus was in the fire with them? And perhaps being so close to him, I mean, if I was in a raging fire and I saw Jesus with me, I'd be hugging him, like one of those like monkey hugs, you know? I'd be so close to Jesus. And I wonder that being so close to Jesus in that circumstance, maybe they smelled more like him than they did their circumstance. Maybe they smelled more like him than the culture that they were in. And that's so true of us, that when we spend time with Jesus, church, we smell more like him than our circumstances. We smell more like him than our situations. We smell more like him than the culture that we're in. You know, we don't have to smell like corruption. We don't have to smell like envy. We don't have to smell like lust. We don't have to smell like sickness and disease. We don't have to smell like debt. We don't have to smell like our circumstances around us, but we can smell like Jesus. And the only way to smell like Jesus is to be with him so that he can rub off on us. And when he does that, when he rubs off on us, the people around us will notice, hey, they're smelling a little bit different in a good way. They're smelling a little different. They're looking a bit different. I wonder why. And as a result, my prayer is that as we smell more like Jesus, that as we spend more time with him, that we love like he does, like we instructed to in the word, as we love like him, people will come to know him through our love. Will come to realize who we follow. And so that's my prayer for today, for us, that as we go into this week, that we would be with Jesus, but that we would also become like him in our love. And as a result, many would come to know him in our worlds. Let's pray as we close off today. Jesus, we want to thank you that you love us with an unconditional love. You love us when we're down and out. You love us even though we were different to you. We were sinful. You were perfect, but you loved us. And so we thank you right now that we can love the way you love, that you've given us ways to do that. In your word, you've given us instructions on how to love other people. Help us this week to be people who love others. To love those who are down and out, to love those who are different to us. And as a result, I pray that we would have a beautiful sense about us, a Jesus sense about us, and that many would come to know you. And while we're in this moment, I would love to give an opportunity for those of us who want to accept Jesus for the first time. You know, we can't love or we can't give of what we don't have. But when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and friend, we're accepting love. We're accepting God's love for us. John 3 verse 16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And when we love, when we accept that love, we'll have that love. We'll smell like that love and we'll be able to do exactly what we've been speaking about today. And so if that's you in this space and in this place, I would love the privilege of praying with and for you. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. And that's just so that I can see you, so that I can notice you, see who I'm praying for, and see who I'm including in my prayer. So on the count of three, I'm looking across this place. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Thank you. I see that hand over there on the right-hand side. Thank you. This is your moment. I'm looking in the balcony. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, thank you. I see those two hands there on my left. You are making the best decision that you could ever make. You're accepting the Lord of love, the God of love, the God who is love. And you're making a decision to follow him. One last call before I wrap up. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand at the back there. Thank you, Lord. So if this is you, I'd love just to pray a prayer, and you can make this the prayer of your heart. Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you that you would send your Son to live a life that I could not live and to die a death that I should have died. Thank you for your forgiveness. And thank you that I can be redeemed to a father who loves me, reconciled to a father who loves me because of your great sacrifice. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I ask you to help me with your love, transform me into being a person who is like you, to be more like you. And I thank you for this. In your name I pray. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.